With Friday greetings to Turdville, Turd Ferguson returns, ready to wrap up the day, the week, the month, and the quarter here on September the 30th, 2016. Happy Friday, everybody. And I don't know about you, but I am ready for a weekend. What a long week. I feel just kind of mentally wiped out. I'm ready just to chill, watch some golf, watch some football, and try to relax some. And really tough day to watch today with the clearly manipulative, short squeeze, stop running move we saw in Silver earlier today. We've seen this quite a few times here, especially just recently. But, you know, one of these problems when you have these high-frequency trading-dominated markets is that liquidity can just suddenly disappear. That guy at Nanex, Scott Hunziker, does a great job of chronicling this in really all markets and how HFT does not provide added liquidity because it just magically just disappears. It's the Platte River, which runs through the state of Nebraska. It's a mile wide and 6 inches deep. That's what liquidity is like in an HFT market. And so when liquidity suddenly disappears, the HFTs just have the ability just to run price one way or the other. And that's exactly what happened today. Price of silver was cooking along about 1930, 1935, and reasonably stable. Then all of a sudden, out of the blue, about 20 minutes after the COMEX opened, it popped 40 cents. And was trading up at 1975. And though that looked pretty good at the time, we were quick to point out, you know, just as likely to come back down now. And if you waited long enough, sure as heck, that's exactly what happened. And so in that thin liquidity period, the HFTs were able to squeeze the shorts and run the buy stops to the upside, get price through the 50-day moving average, really frighten a lot of shorts. But then, hey, just let it go sideways for a while and then run it right back down. What a scam and a fraud these markets are. Nothing fundamentally changed at all about silver over the course of that couple of hours. Of course not. And again, when you've got a COMEX where the total amount of paper silver exceeds 110% of global mine supply. Well, things like this are going to happen, I suppose. And that's what happened today. We got a COT report that was exactly as we thought. And we'll, of course, wrap up this podcast by discussing it. Remember, all of the open interest that came flooding into gold late last week and early this week after the Fed did not raise rates, and how we said it was all spec buying. And to meet that demand from the specs, the banks flooded the market with new paper shorts and new contracts to the tune of about 40,000 contracts. Again, huge number. What did we say? It was 130 metric tons, whatever it is, of new paper gold they flooded in to meet that spec demand and keep price in check. And when you see the charts, you'll see what they were up to and what they were after, exactly what we discussed a week ago today. And so now here we are heading into Friday. The big news today was, just as we discussed, all of a sudden these rumors that Deutsche Bank was going to be let off the hook to some extent by the U.S. Department of Justice. Hell, I just talked about this yesterday with Corey at the Corlin Report. I said if all this was set in motion by this $14 billion fine from the Department of Justice, wouldn't somebody at some point say, you know, you need to scale that back because that's starting to hurt Deutsche Bank. So, of course, that's what they're going to do. Now, those rumors have not been confirmed here late Friday afternoon, so we'll have to see. But nonetheless, Deutsche Bank shot back higher after trading all the way down to, what, 11.5 yesterday, closed north of 13 today. Their bonds recovered. German 10-year Bund sold off a little bit and a rate moved back up. We'll just see what next week brings. And obviously, no one really knows for sure if there will just be no big deal this weekend with the formal inclusion of the Chinese yuan in the IMF's SDR, but that's supposed to happen tomorrow. And then, of course, China is closed all next week for holiday. And as you look at the charts that I'll show you here in a minute, you can see where I think we need to be on the lookout for some significant shenanigans from the banks next week. all of it leading up to next week's BLSBS. Like I said, we're wrapping up the quarter, so just from a perspective standpoint, because I know this sucks and it's no fun, and watch things go sideways and watch the series of lower highs and all the flooding of the paper contracts from the banks and everything else. But to keep things in some level of perspective, in the first half of the year, gold was up 25%. Silver was up something like 40%. And now in the third quarter, the first half of the second half, gold was down $7, one half of 1%. So we went up 25%, and then we spent a quarter giving back one half of 1%. And silver was actually up on the quarter. I know it doesn't feel like it, but we closed on June 30th at $1,870. And now today we're at $1,923, so we're actually up, what, 3%? Silver rose 40%, went from 1360 to 1870 in 6 months, and now we've gone up even more. And the miners, I know it's been very frustrating to watch, and we were down a couple points again today at 231, and we're now 50 points, 20% down from the highs. But we're only down 13 or 14 points on the quarter. We went up to 244, I think, June 30th. Again, up from 100 in January. So we had 140% move in about 5 months. And now we've given back some, but on the quarter itself, only down 5%. Again, let's try to keep it all in perspective, okay? All it does in the end is just auger that the best thing you can do is not play in the casino. If any lesson you should take out of today's action in silver is, man, you don't stand a chance, man. And there are no fundamentals in play. I mean, it's not like you can say, oh, yeah, wow. No, silver is going to move all over the place. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter what the fundamentals are on a day-to-day basis. So your best winning move is to not play and to take advantage of the dips and to add to your stack. And as we close the quarter, I want to remind you again, if you're doing any shopping, to please frequent the advertisers of this site. Everybody from JM Bullion, Silver.com, Bullion Exchanges, Golden Eagle Coins, and even Gold Money. Those are the five companies that advertise here, five companies that we trust, five companies that all give you a good deal. So if you're going to do any shopping this weekend, please compare those five and purchase from them before you might look at anybody else. All right, we mentioned the open interest, how it's coming back down. No doubt about that. Yesterday, another 9,000 contracts left gold. Here's how this works. Back on September the 20th, before this most recent rally with the Fed lines, open interest was 558,000 contracts. Price then went up $27 into early this week. And price or open interest was 600,000 contracts. That was a 42,000 contract rise. Again, all of it. New spec longs, taking the other side of new cartel paper shorts. And now as prices come back down $18 through yesterday, open interest back to 566,000. And I'm sure even lower now as of today. Full round trip. I want to talk about wash, rinse, repeat. The only ones making money are the banks and the HFTs. Well, there you go. Silver yesterday up 7 cents, and it's open is actually up fractionally. And then here's, I guess, the one interesting thing to note about pending October deliveries. Remember, we've been watching all year long massive alleged deliveries, if you want to call it that, through the COMEX. 3, 4, 5 times normal. Well, we just finished out. Today was first notice day for the October gold contract. And though it is not usually a big delivery month, it is a delivery month. Remember, the delivery months: February, April, June, August, October, and then December. But really, we go from August to December. That's where all the front month action is. October isn't a big heavily traded month. And usually it's not a big delivery month. In fact, last October, total amount of deliveries in COMEX gold numbered 950. Want to take a guess as to how many contracts were still standing at the close yesterday indicating intent to take delivery? 7,400. 7 times more than what were actually delivered last October. And check this, September, where we just wrapped up the September deliveries. September, usually the lightest non-delivery month of the year. September of last year, there were 32 deliveries. 32. This September just concluded 2,706. Nine hundred times more. Still some curious stuff there. Obviously, strong demand for physical gold, gold-related investments, gold derivatives, whatever you want to call it, everywhere on the planet. If there's any reason why the banks have not been able to raid price, it is because of that physical demand. And they know if they raid price down too far, physical orders get triggered, more orders come in, and they have a hard time finding that metal. All right, turning to the charts. Again, the key to watch, as we keep telling you, is the dollar-yen. And look what happened today. Similar to what happened back in early September, we actually moved up and closed above that trend line. Again, now, this has happened before. This happened back in early September. Then we came plummeting back down. That big red candle that you see in early September was the BLSBS in September. But now we're above again. Make a mental note of that, okay? Why? Well, now we got to look at gold. Look at what happened in gold today. Now we're going to walk backwards here. I'm going to give you my chart and tell you what makes me nervous. But then I'm going to tell you, you know, maybe give you a reason that you shouldn't be quite so nervous yet. On my chart, look at the trend line going back to the lows last year. Remember, we rode this trend line just 2 weeks ago and then rallied with the Fed lines. But we start all the way back there, December 17th of last year, connect to May 31st of this year. Again, you could see where we were riding that line for 5 days earlier this month. But note what happened today. Smashing back from a high of 1331 to close on the COMEX at like 1317. I have a last of 1320. And as you can see, that is a breakdown and close below of that line. Now, what does that mean? Is that, oh crap, I don't know. You should certainly be certain to note that breakdown. Maybe it means nothing. Though I will warn you, remember the podcast I posted from Mrs. F's car a month ago? When we watched the HUI breakdown through its trend line that went back to January, the start date? And then what happened? Immediately shed about 10%. Now, I'm not saying just because gold broke this line today that we're going to lose 10% over the next couple of days. I don't think that's going to happen. But if any one chart should grab your attention of this list of six, notice that is the first time since this trend began December of last year that we have closed below that line. Now, that's just silly old line. Probably what is more important is the next chart. That's the 100-day moving average, which, as you see right now, is 1316 and change. And that's exactly what we bounced off of earlier today. It's exactly what we rode 2 weeks ago. It's exactly what we used as support back at the end of August. It's exactly what we used as support back at the end of May. Look, we even closed below that 100-day for a couple of days back at the end of May and early June. What catapulted us forward, that big green candle that put us back above the 100-day? That was a BLSBS, June the 3rd, when all of a sudden the jobs report was only 37,000, ultimately revised down to, what, 11,000? But that was the day that ended the job-owning event of May. Could we be setting ourselves up for another one of those by next Friday? God, let's hope so. So anyway, on my little trend line, bad sign. Just like it was a bad sign when the HUI broke down a month ago. But in terms of traditional TA, we're still hanging in there above the 100-day. Now, if we really start to break down and close below the 100-day and start to break down below 1,300, well, hell's bells, and you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout, I'm telling you why. Because we still got this chart, the monthly chart of gold. Remember last Friday I said, okay, this is the thing to watch. We were sitting right on that line. In fact, we were just a couple dollars above it at 1335. And I said, man, if we can somehow at the end of the month, end of the quarter, finally put a monthly close on above this line, it's going to set us up so well for the fourth quarter. And lo and behold, what happened? Back on Tuesday, price was smashed, deliberately crushed below the 50-day. It's been nothing but down ever since. In fact, now it's $20 below the 50-day. And it's mission accomplished for the banks. After coming up and tapping the line in June, now July, August, and September have all closed back below the line as they're writing it down. Getting any close back below 1300 on a monthly basis would be pretty bad. 29, 1290 maybe. Let's just hope that doesn't happen in October. Okay? Let's hope. But from what we talked about last week versus today, you can clearly see it was mission accomplished. And that was what it was all about back on Tuesday when we had the coordinated effort to break gold down below its 50-day. Turning to silver. Silver on the daily chart. You know, it doesn't look half bad. Still hanging in there pretty well. Its trend that goes all the way back to the middle of January, still clearly intact. We'd have to break down below 18 to break that. And if you look at the trend since Brexit, that's the blue line on this chart. Now we're hanging in there pretty well there too. No surprise that when we peaked at 1977 earlier today, that's right at the red down arrow. Okay? So we'll see what silver has to do next week. Like I said, what did I start telling you this? A couple days ago, after we had the 4 days up, remember, in early September, and then 4 days down, and then 4 days up again 2 weeks ago, and then 4 days down, concluding this week, that we'd probably go sideways, centering around 1910. Well, that's still the case. Again, setting us up for whatever the BLSBS has in store for us next week. Longer term in silver, and I might as well leave you with some good news. I mean, you just can't argue with how tremendous this chart looks. Okay, the downtrend in silver was broken back in 2014. It then rode that line down. It wasn't any fun. I mean, it rode all the way down from 21 and changed to 14. But we're still riding the line on the other side. Spiked at 14 in late 2014. Went back up and then came back down and put in a second big, long, rounded bottom at 14. So if you wonder why I think 14 was finally the bottom, that was it. You can't ask for more than this. On the long-term chart, break of the trend line, ride the line down, put in a spike low at 14, a rally back to resistance, a failure there at 18.5, and then come down and find 14 as support for what? 8 months? And now, a big surge, a break finally through 18.5, and now a successful test over the last 3 months of support at 18.5. Now, it could all break down and give way, and you can throw all these charts out the window. But for me, I see a big, strong, beautiful bottom forming here. In fact, really seeing a reverse head and shoulder on the monthly chart. I think the next move in silver is somewhere up toward 22, maybe even as high as 24. I've said that before the end of the year, as I think that's still think that's where we're headed. That's what this chart tells me. And maybe it'll just be 22. It won't be 24. I have no idea. But I do think on this monthly, long-term chart, man, this is a beauty. And anybody with a long-term perspective, as we know we all do, should be feeling very confident about every single physical ounce that you buy at these levels. Because in the end, you're going to have this big rounded bottom that's going to be clear to everybody, a reverse head and shoulder. And once silver breaks out, not through 22, but once it breaks through 25 and 26, if not later this year, early next, then everybody and their brother is going to see this bottom. And it's going to be laying there, staring them in the face. And then we're going to have this huge, rounded bull as we move back toward new all-time highs. Okay, we got to talk about that COT report. Again, if anything, just to show you, I mean, it shows you. I mean, if a dope can sit here and tell you without seeing the data exactly what was going on, and that should tell you again how manipulated all this is. We knew as price was surging Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, into Monday of last week, only to be smashed on Tuesday. We watched the open interest come into the tune of 40,000 contracts. We watched a whole bunch of it go back out on Tuesday as price was crushed through the 50-day. And I said, I can tell you exactly what this COT's going to look like. Even though we're up $12, there can be a massive deterioration in the COT. And that's exactly right. Now remember, this includes Tuesday. Nevertheless, the large specs increased their net long position by 35,000 contracts. And the commercials increased their net short by 25,000 contracts. The reason they didn't have to increase to 35 is because the small specs reduced their net long. Either way, the gross short position of the gold commercials is now nearly 438,000 contracts, with just a whisker, 26,000 less than the all-time high we saw back at the price peak of July 5th. Silver, a deterioration as well, again, which was not a surprise. Silver actually was down on the COT week while open interest was up 8,000. That's how effective J.P. Morgan was at rigging price down from 20 and change last Thursday. The large specs increased their net long by 2,200 contracts. The commercials increased their net short by 3,900 contracts. That's how you cap price. That's how you keep it from getting away from you. The banks just simply issue as many new naked shorts as they need to meet the spec demand for the paper. If the size, the amount of contracts, amount of interest was held constant, then price would have to move up until you had willing sellers. Instead, the banks just simply create new contracts and flood them out of the market. The specs gobble them up while they're looking for them, and you dampen the price change. That's exactly what happened last week. And now you just chase them all back out by flipping the technical picture, dropping price below the 50-day, whatever it takes. Anyway, silver commercial net short position now back up to 101,000 contracts, just a shade below the 109,000 peak it reached also when silver was hitting its price peak for 2016 in early August. See how that works? Okay, we'll see what happens next. Again, the big news over the weekend will be anything that comes out of China. But then China is closed all next week. It is a German market holiday on Monday, so who knows what kind of news we're going to get out of Deutsche Bank. So we'll see. It's going to be free rein for the banks to just rip the metals in either direction next week with China closed. And they'll be doing this and running stops, probably a lot to the downside, but also to the upside, all leading up to the BLSBS next Friday. And then maybe we'll get, I don't know, maybe we'll get a bad number and the metals will rally. But I don't even want to think about that at this point because that seems like a light years away. Again, we got to go through this all again next week to get there. So in the meantime, I think I'll sign off, and I would encourage you to sign off as well, though my friend Dr. Jerome has promised a new thread on Saturday, so you should check back tomorrow because he always puts out some great stuff. But other than that, you should relax and chill. And again, take a long-term view. That silver chart is fantastic. Just keep stacking and keep using our advertisers for that purpose, okay? Have a great weekend. We'll get back together on Monday, hopefully with our sanity intact, and we'll see what next week brings us. Until we meet again, it's time for me to sign off. This is Turd Ferguson, and I'm out.